I would play strip Never Have I Ever at the height of the pandemic. I would do literal like Zoom dates and we would just get like drunk and strip and like with these random people. There are probably fucking like screenshots of my pussy like on random people.
That's amazing. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Girls Gone Deep. I'm Elle. And on today's episode, V and I bring back some past male guests. So we got a Guys Gone Deep edition here and we play Horrible Life with them. So let's talk about our guests first. So in the first part of this audio, you're going to hear Zachary Zane. He is from episode 57, Bisexuality with Boy Slut Author, Shameless Sexuality, The Importance of Visibility, and Living Your Best Slutty Life. And on the second half of this audio, you're going to hear from The Builder. And he was on episode 12 with Guys Gone Deep with M. And we spoke about double penetration, short men, and friendships in the lifestyle. So check those out. Great episodes. If you are listening to this episode the day that it releases, please check out our Instagram at Girls Gone Deep Pod, because we're going to reference some pictures of things that we've spoke about on this episode, and there's also a poll, so we'd love to get your feedback. And so we hope you enjoy this episode. If you are interested in getting your hands on the card game Horrible Life, which is a game of have you ever all things sex and kink, visit horriblelife.com and get 10% off your first deck with code GONEDEEP. Also, little short disclaimer, my personal audio on this first half of this recording is not the greatest. So thanks for bearing with me. I was recording in a different location on this day. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Fun. Yeah, we got a waterproof deck. Oh my God. I went on the microphone at the nude pool and I was like shaking. I was like, we have these cards. I'm like not used to talking in public.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love it. You want to pick first, V?
Yeah. So how do we want to play it? So there's a couple of different ways to play, Zachary.
Okay.
Oh, and we should say we have on Zachary Zane, yes. Boy Slut himself.
Hello. Yes. Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome back. We brought him back to play some Horrible Life with us because we know this guy's got stories for days.
That I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's play the iteration of done it, would do it, and putting it on the fuck it list, or no thank you, not for me. So basically we're going to read a card and you can say you've done it and then you have to tell us the sexy story.
Okay.
Or put it on the fantasy list or no thanks.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, let's see what the universe wants us to talk about. Ooh. All right, have you ever fucked yourself in the ass? And so,
yes.
What does this mean, Al? What does this card mean specifically?
This one is legitimately with a dildo or some other object. You fucked yourself in the ass intentionally with solo play, just having fun.
Oh, all the time. I mean, I love anal play. That's not a thing. It's also now literally now how I clean out is instead of douching, which is a pain in the ass, I have a dildo stuck like a suction dildo to my shower. And so if I kind of use it as a test to be like, okay, and it's a bigger dildo than the guy, the person that's coming over, right? So I know that if I can like take this, A, it's warming me up, so I'm not as tight and in pain when I'm with him. It also is a way to be like, okay, if I didn't shit or whatever it is, you know, get any specs on that, then I know I'm clean to go with him.
Yeah.
So it's actually how, and it's like also just a way to kind of tease yourself in the shower too. And it's a lot easier. And again, I do this when I assume I'm clean and ready to go, but it's kind of like a final test that opens myself up. So I actually love doing that.
Okay, so you use it as a cleaning tool and a checker. Do you solo play with yourself when you're masturbating and all of that stuff? You know, how frequently does that come in, you know?
It's, I mean, honestly, I don't. I'm very blessed to have many partners. I feel like I don't masturbate as much as I used to. I know. I feel like such a douchebag saying that. But like, so I don't masturbate as often as I used to, and when I do, it's more just like, okay, I finished working out and I just want to fucking like come usually, but like horny and want to do this. But if like I know, I'll definitely sit down and have a nice, 30-minute session once in a while. But usually, I mean, I also do it with my partners too.
I feel like I don't make enough time for solo play.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not enough time in the day sometimes.
Yeah. So, well, one of the things, like, for me, it's like, I'm just going to rub one out real quick and take care of this,
Take care of business here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just want to get to the point of the orgasm. Yeah. And for me, like, I don't do a lot of butt stuff. And so I have done this. I have fucked myself in the ass, but it was definitely when I was doing way more butt stuff with my Dom, and he was super into anal, and I did the same thing. Like, I'd be in the shower and I'd have my shower dildo, and I would, like, yeah, I used it more as like a gauge and a warm up and a check, like, are there specs on here? Like, yeah. Do I need to use the syringe and, douche out the asshole a little bit more.
Yeah, it totally sounds like we're all using this as like a cleaning and a checking tool, because that's my story too. Anytime I've ever put anything in my ass, it's to like warm myself up, trade my ass, and then also check for cleanliness as well. So we're all using this more for function.
I like butt plugs during sex when I'm topping. So I do have that, but it's not like a dildo per se.
And you're not fucking yourself in the ass. Exactly. Yeah.
Wait, so Zachary, can I ask your preference? Do you prefer to top or bottom? Are you switch? Like, what's your role?
I'm pretty verse.
You're like an anomaly. Is that like an anomaly? I feel like guys are either one or the other.
I feel like that's often the case. I honestly think I would bottom more if I didn't have, Jewish IBS. So it's just something, it's like some more like, okay, like my stomach is doing well today. Let's take advantage. But otherwise, I would bottom more. But
I'm taking that quote. Yeah. I would bottom more if I didn't have Jewish IBS.
It's really just that anxiety really just goes to my gut here. So like, but I'm pretty verse. Yeah.
All right.
I love that. The more I talk about it with people, and I've been thinking about this a lot since your episode, and like, bisexual audibility and talking about it more. We talked about how in the swinger community, so many men are more open to it than maybe even they know, but it's until you start having the conversations, it's not normalized in the community. And so, like, I've been having really cool conversations with people here. I'm at Hito this week, and yeah, I think more people are open to being more verse than people assume.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's pleasure in both. So, Al, you want to pull the second card?
Yeah, let's pull the next card. So I'm going to pull right from the top here. Okay, this one is, have you ever received a facial from Squirt Juice?
Yes.
I feel like every single card we pull, Boy Slut is going to be like,
it's like literally, it's like, yes, I have a book called Boy Slut, a memoir manifesto. I literally have a nonfiction erotica zine where I share all of my sex stories, and I curate like from a bunch of other kinksters across the globe. I love it. And that's been like the side project that's become so big. So all I do is talk and write about my sex stories for a living. So,
so tell us a Squirt Juice facial story.
No, I mean, I've just like had a partner, sitting on my face, and I'm like eating them out, and then they just like squirt on my face, and I like directly on my face, and then I also drink it.
Oh my gosh. Do they ask before they do it, or it just happens? Do you prefer to be asked or just kind of used?
I mean, it depends on the person, but I like being used. Like, I find it hot. Like, that's why I wanted them to sit on my face. That was the whole point of this. You know what I mean? So like, but most people will be like, hey, I'm going to squirt. I'll be like, yes, give it to me. So that way, just in case it doesn't, get in your eye, you're blinded, whatever it is. But I love that.
Choke on it.
We have a friend who says his kink is squirting, because he said, like, you can fake an orgasm, but you can't fake squirting. So what are your thoughts on squirting?
Oh, it's hot. I mean, there are few things that I do not find hot. It's like, as I've gotten older, I've somehow eroticized, I feel like, almost everything. There are very few things, and even certain things, I'm like, okay, it's not for me necessarily, but like most of the things I feel like I can get into. But I just, you know, more fluid, more enjoyment, more ejaculation, all of that stuff I find arousing.
Yes.
I actually, I'll tell a fun story while I'm here in Hedo. One of my Hedo fuck it list items is to make a girl squirt. And I haven't, so I tried one night and she was way too dehydrated. it was like dry as a bone. She was like, it feels like, you know, if I was hydrated, I would be doing it. I was like, yes, okay, I got the technique down. But then we were with one of our friends who is like a squirter. Like she squirts all the time. Broad response squirter, Lola Jean would say.
Yes.
And so she had squirted a little bit and we were doing like a daytime play session yesterday. And I was like, oh my God, I need to try to do that. And then I just started like touching her clit and then she started squirting. So I'm like, did I make a girl squirt? Because I didn't actually like go inside and like do the action. I don't know if I can count that. What are our thoughts?
Wait, are we thinking of the same person? Is this LA? Yep, yes. Exactly. That's my story that I'm going to share too eventually. And I don't know. I think that you have a super easy squirter and I don't think it counts.
Wow. Gatekeeping. Yes. Yeah, I'd say it's an easy A. You know what I mean? I feel like, no, yeah, of course it counts.
Yeah, that's true, too. It counts. All right.
It doesn't necessarily show off your skills, per se, but I think it does count.
And it's good as, like, an intro. If I've never made someone squirt, it's good to start with that because it builds my confidence.
There we go.
I will say and it's an easy A.
Yeah, easy A. I like that. I feel like also like as I'm getting more comfortable playing with women, I do like playing with women who are easy comers because again, it builds my confidence. I'm like, okay, I can make a girl orgasm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this female that we're talking with, that's actually the story that I have. So yes, I have received squirt juice on my face and it was with her. And so last year at Hedo, I watched her squirt continuously for a solid 12 hours straight. And I'm not exaggerating at this. Like I watched her go from couple to group to person to me to everybody. So this couple took me back to their room and they like to have sex with the air conditioning turned down. So it's just like hot, sweaty, all over. So not only
that was yesterday, we were all like slipping against each other like seals.
So hot.
And with the humidity.
Actually.
Oh my God.
And then on top of that, she's just this incredible squirter that I have no idea where this fluid comes out of her. So at one point she was leaning and standing against the wall and I was on my knees underneath her and I was fingering her and licking her pussy at the same time. And as I was fingering her, she was just squirting just all over my face, all over my body. And then we transitioned onto the bed and it was just more liquid on sweat, on squirt, on fisting, and just incredible the amount of liquids that come out of her.
Yeah.
That's so hot. That's just so, I love that. I love that. It's so hot.
Jay, my partner, made her squirt and I was like watching literally across the king size bed. And I'm wearing my glasses because I think I got like sand in my eye or something like that. So I had to wear my glasses during this orgy and they kept like fogging up. And then I got squirt juice on them. And I was like, ugh, I had to like take them off.
Oh my God. My God. Yeah.
Squirt juice facials. I hear it's really great for the skin.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Moisturizes and exfoliates simultaneously.
Yeah.
It does have a sweeter taste than most people would appreciate. So I would knock it till you try it, people.
Yeah. Well, actually, also, just on this topic, Jay and I just went to a workshop with Lola Jean. Zachary, you're familiar with Lola Jean,
course,
I assume.
Great.
Of course, yeah. So she did a workshop on squirting and it was so cool just like hearing some of the science behind it, what little has been gained from the little research that has been done. But, you know, is it pee? That's like the number one question that people always ask. And she said, you know, the research that's been done, it's not pee, number one. And if it is, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
And number two, basically, when a woman is engorged with all of the fluids when she's turned on, even if she has just peed, the liquid shows up in the bladder. So by Lola Jean thinks that like basically all of this liquid kind of just like through osmosis through the walls of the bladder like goes in there. So maybe there are remnants of pee, but like it's not pee. And they've done studies on like what it is. And also, fun fact, I squirted the other day and it's a boundary that I'm trying to get over. And our friend Ace, he was like, listen, if you squirt, that's great. We're literally on the floor. We were like on the tile floor with towels underneath us. He was like, this is the best case scenario. And if you pee, I get a prize because our friends are like doing this like game of like, have you done this? Have you done this? And you get like a badge for doing it. And he's like, I get a water sports badge if you pee on me. So win-win. And I was like, okay, I can let go now. This is perfect.
Nice. Oh my God, amazing. I love that.
All right, next card.
Yep.
I have a feeling this is going to be another yes from Zachary.
Let's see.
Have you spit on your partner while fucking, drink twice if it was into their mouth?
Yes.
Yes and yes.
No, and that's something, I mean, obviously I'm bi, like, and that's something that a lot of gay men are into. So directly spitting in mouth is like very, very common and like a hot thing that's done. I feel like I do it less with women. Just because.
What does it do for you?
I think just something about the mouth itself is sexy and opening it. There's like an element of dominance and submission. Someone's owning you. Someone's spitting on you. Someone's spitting into you. So I think it's kind of like, yeah, the dom sub thing is hot. And then just fluids generally.
So I'm always impressed with when a guy has really great aim. I think it's so sexy. I'm like, ooh, you've done this before.
It's a practice makes perfect thing. and over time, you get better for sure.
How are you with your aim?
Pretty decent at this point. I'm not going to say a bullseye every time, but definitely getting better and better.
Well, like, for example, if we need lube and there's no lube around, like, Jay, my partner, he'll be, you know, up and I'll be laying down. So, like, I don't know. What is that? 2.5 feet? 2 feet? Depending on how tall the dude is.
Chin to torso.
And he just spits right on my clit. And I'm like, ah.
That's hot.
It's
also very rewarding when I do, like, Nail it right. I never say anything, but in my head, I'm like, fuck yes, did it.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't get like her like kneecap. It's like, that would be fucking embarrassing. You know what I mean? So it's always just, nice. Did it. Okay, good.
Like, I swear I've done this before. Yeah.
God.
Oh my God. I love it.
And then, I'm trying to think if I think I've been spit into my mouth, but I don't think I've ever spit into someone's mouth. How about you, Elle?
Yeah, I have had my mouth spit in as well. And it was definitely in a dominant submission type of a scenario where I was sub and just took it. And I, for the longest time, was turned off by spitting. And so this was like that one experience that it just worked with the vibe, with the energy. And I was like, oh, that's so hot. Like, I'll take your spit. That I am no longer turned off by it, I would say. And that's like a thing that I experienced in like when I was a kid, like boys spitting and hawking loogies and stuff.
Yeah, and that's like gross. That's not sexual. But you know what I mean? Like, but
hawk a loogie into someone's mouth?
Yeah, right?
Oh, that's gross.
That would be a different level of dominance and submission for sure.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. Like, again, all these things were... I was similar in that way, Elle, where it was like, if you told me before I tried it, oh, spitting in someone's mouth, I'd be like, that's not going to do anything for me. I'm not going to enjoy that.
Yeah.
And then just being open to different sexual things, you have this positive association with it. All of a sudden you're like, well, actually, when I am turned, like, and again, it's one of those things where you have to be turned on and like the person. If you're like kind of like not that into it or going with the motions, whatever it is, and they ask to spit in your mouth, you're like, fuck, no, this sucks. You know what I mean? But it's like, so it speaks to just how, when you are turned on and attracted to the person, how much more you might be into than you initially suspect.
That's setting in connection.
Yeah, that's true of so many things. I've been talking to a couple of girls on this trip where, like, some dudes are very just forward and will come up to you and be like, you know, hey, want to suck it or something like that. And it's like, I'm not personally into that because I'm very demisexual and I'm like, talk to me first and then maybe I'll want to suck it. But some girls are super into that. And one of my friends was approached like that. And I was like, oh my God, you were okay with that? And she was like, yeah, because he was hot and I had seen him all day and thought he was sexy and wanted to play with him. But if it was someone that I was not into, yeah, it would have been creepy and gross. So it's all about the person and like, yeah, if you're into them.
Yeah. Like, I was trying to think if I would be okay with that. And I think it's, again, contextual. Like, I have definitely, I fucked people from across the pool or, you know, on the beach. And then finally, when you just meet, there's just something sexual there that for me, I don't always need to know who you are, what your name is, and what's going on. And if that energy is strong enough, and if he has enough confidence to come up to me to like ask me to suck his dick, then he knows that I'm probably into him. I'm going to probably go for it.
Yeah.
I like that intensity and that confidence around that. Yeah. So I've definitely.
Do you agree, Zachary?
It's always tough because, you know, I'm coming from a male perspective and I don't want to enable or necessarily encourage guys walking around saying, do you want to suck my dick? You know what I mean? That's not something that I'm trying to necessarily encourage per se, but I agree with everything you're saying. And there is, it's like you have to just be, you have to be more in tune with these partners and can tell when people are into you. I'll be more aggressive or assertive, let's say, like something like that. Like, I'll say something kind of quickly when I can tell this person is just staring deep into my eyes and their mouth is on the floor. And I'm like, okay, this person wants to hook up. And I can kind of read body language here. I'm also going to do it at a place I might be a little bit more forward. Maybe that's the word I should say. I'll be a little bit more forward when I'm at a sex club like Hedonism, where it is I'm not going to necessarily say that at a bar. You know what I mean? With random right. people outside the scene. Like, obviously, context matters where you're doing this. But, like, you know, I know guys who are just still too forward even at sex parties where I'm like, yeah, you're at a sex party, but you still got to, like, read the room a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, make sure this person is into you. Don't immediately ask them. So it's a weird balance to find.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree with you on that. And it's interesting, like, this goes back to the scenarios where you're in environments when females are present versus environments where there's just males present. And Zachary, you can definitely, I am not an expert on this, but I'm bringing this up because I want you to kind of speak into this. Like, when you go into gay spaces, it's almost as if all this stuff is okay and assumed, and you can I don't want to say aggressive, but we'll say forwardness is it always present? Is it there? Do people ask in those spaces where it's gay guys?
It's, you know, I've spoken about this and I've written about this, where often like straight spaces like utilize enthusiastic consent versus gay spaces for sex parties utilize opt out consent. So this idea that I'm not going to ask before I touch you or grab you. Or like slap your ass, but if you say no, then I will stop. Versus enthusiastic consent is before you touch or grab or do anything, you need an enthusiastic yes. And so I kind of am lucky that I have both spaces where it's like if I want to have a more dominant night where I can just go and slap people's ass and make out with them and fuck them. And the thing is, like, the guy, you know, in a sling, in a sex swing with a blindfold on doesn't want you to come up and be like, oh, can I fuck you? Like, he wants you to fucking fuck him. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
He wants these anonymous loads. Like, that's the entire point of what he's doing. So by like engaging in enthusiastic consent at that point, it's actually inappropriate, right?
Yeah.
So I am kind of lucky in that I get both aspects. I get the places that are a little bit like, okay, the straight spaces, I'm definitely a lot slower. I'm definitely not as forward. I want to make sure the person's into me. I flirt a little bit longer. When I think the person, by the time I usually ask to play with someone, there's a 95% chance the answer is yes. You know what I mean? Because I've read the room and sometimes I don't. You know, sometimes I'm like, oh no, thank you, not now, whatever it is, fine. But, you know, there have been times where, fuck, I just want to get fucked and I don't want people necessarily asking me, oh, can I touch you? Oh, can I make out with you? Oh, every step of the way. Then I'm going to go to a gay sex party and just be face down, ass up, and that's it. So I kind of get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, read the room, people. That's the bottom line. All right, let's
Should we pull one last card?
Yeah, one last card. Okay. Oh, well, this is going to be easy. So, given a
You can pull another one if you want. You can search through for a harder one.
We need
one
to find
want.
The most extreme thing in here.
Well, I really want you to elaborate on this one because this is definitely relevant for you as a bi male. So, given a prostate orgasm.
Have I ever given a prostate orgasm? Sorry, I thought there was going to be more to that.
No, that's
yes.
it.
Yes, yeah. I have.
You have given a prostate orgasm. So how do you, so I'm curious because I just got into prostate play with my partner, M, and we're trying all these different tools and devices and fingers and toys. What is your, tell us a story about a prostate orgasm, or maybe talk about what toys you like to use or if it's just your fingers.
You know, fingers are like, toys are great, honestly. Like, I love a great vibrating prostate massager. Like, that just really will do it. And for me, a lot of the prostate orgasm, like, just comes from longevity. It's just like constant, simple stimulation. It's not hard stimulation. It's not fast stimulation. It's just you kind of need a consistent build, and then eventually you will pop. But like, so it's not, yeah, for that one, it's not like necessarily as hard as other forms. It's just like, take the time, go slow, and just, you know, press up against it. So it's not, yeah, it's a slow and steady wins the race for that one.
Yeah.
I haven't done any prostate play. I mean, like, I've definitely, like, played inside butts, but male butts. But I don't know. So it's like a hard walnut-sized.
It's not hard. It's not hard. But, like, you know, essentially, if you like kind of go 2 to 3 inches inside the asshole, which again is not that far, right? So you're not trying to get your whole fucking thing in there, but it's kind of almost naturally where, if you put your fingers in, where they will go, right? Because your fingers are only 2 to 3 inches long anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're going past or anything, and you'll feel it. Like, it has this kind of different, not necessarily like raised texture, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Like, it stands out from the rest of the anal canal. Like, it's definitely noticeable. It's interesting that we're talking about prostate orgasms when we just talked about squirting, because it's very similar. Like, you're only inserting your fingers 2 to 3 inches, and I find when I found M's, or like really got into it, my middle finger was the best at really getting to the whole entire space of it, because it's probably like walnut sized, I would say. But but yeah, like, once you find it, it's rubbing, and then it's more about being in tune with your partner about how hard you should push. Like, I would treat it like you would a squirting. It's just because it's a similar type of orgasm.
And if you push too hard, like, it's going to press up against his bladder, and he's going to feel like he has to pee, and it's no longer pleasurable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so on the flip side, have you had a prostate orgasm?
I have. I love that. I love getting like milked, essentially. So it's like while getting blown or jerked off, someone is massaging my prostate too, and that feels incredible. And then, like, when that happens, when I actually like orgasm, like, from my dick and like ejaculate, it's like the biggest fucking load of all time. So that's also like a fun thing, and it just feels really pleasurable.
So volume of load is bigger. And then also, have you ever had a prostate orgasm where you have not ejaculated?
Yeah, and it's not as like huge. Like, I feel like ejaculation is just like you really know what the fuck's going, like, something is coming out of you. It's this big thing. But yeah, I do feel this kind of like gush of pleasure from it.
Yeah, and like when I was doing it to M, when I found it and was on it and really found the pressure that he really enjoyed, his cock was rock fucking hard. Like, I saw every single vein in his cock. He was also wearing a cock ring at the time. And he said it felt like cum was coming out of the tip of his dick, but there was nothing coming out. And he said it felt like a 5-minute orgasm for how long that I was in there. Like, it's just
absolutely
at the heightened point for a long period of time. He was like, that was incredible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So like, it's pretty intense, and it can last a long time. And so my other question was, you know, sometimes when you're getting fucked in the ass or all of that, you just end up releasing cum from your cock. Has that ever happened to you where you're just, I guess that's being milked, right? Because it's not an orgasm, but you're releasing ejaculate.
Yeah. And it's not, I don't think, I have to like look this up. There's something I should know offhand, but it's not exactly the same. Like, you're releasing, I don't know exactly what you're releasing. It's not the same exact thing as just like regular cum that releases. I think this is something else, But you will like leak is what I call it. Like you'll be like leaking this, and it's clearer than typical cum, you know what I mean? And I can't, again, a quick Google search would let me know what it is, but like it's a slightly different thing that you're releasing. But yeah, you do still drip, leak, whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, I've read a couple like Reddit things and guys are like always surprised, like, oh my God, does this happen to anybody else? When I was getting fucked in the ass, I leaked a little bit. So I guess it doesn't have the same feeling as say an orgasm would, like you're releasing something and it's more satisfactory.
Oh, it's different. Yeah. No, you don't even realize that you're leaking. Like yeah. You don't feel it.
Yeah. Okay. That was my understanding on reading some of those posts.
Okay. So I have to say for this card for me, it's on the fantasy list. It's on the fuck it list. Jay just got the Enjoy.
Yes.
And so I need to play with that. Do you put the big end or the little end for the prostate?
It's both. You could do both, I think. What do you think, Zach?
I think it's both. I mean, definitely start with the little end and see what it is. Obviously, like, do not start with the big end. But I'm trying to think of the Enjoy. I haven't used one of those in a while, but they are like the best like stainless steel ones out there. They're really good for this stuff. Unless if the big end is supposed to be the flared base, right? So you don't want to, ideally, you don't want to put something that's bigger and then get smaller because then it would get lost up in there, right? So I don't have one in front of me. So just be careful that
you're not putting it
in the drawer. I'll get mine out. My sex toy drawer is right next to me.
Well, they say, well, I mean, what I've read is that the smaller end is for the females to use to squirt. And then the guys are using the bigger end because you can get more surface area for the prostate and stimulate more of the prostate that way. Yeah, so that's what it looks like. It's like
No,
it's like a smiley mouth. Yeah.
Either end.
Yeah, either end. And I think it really comes down to personal preference, right? Because every guy's going to want a different type of stimulation. The one toy that M was reading about on Reddit as we were doing this is using an anal hook to stimulate your prostate purely for comfort of being able to use it on yourself so that you have a longer handle so that you don't have to like really reach down in between your legs.
Yeah.
And like it's kind of a little bit uncomfortable. So purely for more of the comfort. And Ace and Jess talk about this too, that they love the anal hook when it comes to stimulating the prostate. So, so many options and tools.
Yeah. And it does, because that is the annoying thing about like self-prostate stimulation, where it's just like, if you actually are trying to like fuck yourself, like you can't, like, it's really hard. Like the toys are not made for it, unless if you had like a, somehow like a GoPro where it had like a, something where like it allowed you, you know, 3 feet of extra things so you can go from here. But like, it is slightly cumbersome, which is why, you know, I opt for these toys that, you know, stay inside you, or it's a suction toy and then I back myself on it. But there's very few that you can like, you wrapping yourself around like a pretzel when I have a dildo and I'm trying to do it myself. And it's like not the most comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say as the giver, I've used the toys on him too since we've purchased it. And like as the giver, I'd much rather use my finger. It's just because I can't feel what the toy's doing inside of him. And so it's more of like, it ends up being a lot more communication in words. And is this too much? Is this too strong? Can I move faster? As opposed to like using my finger where I can just feel around myself and then just listen for the cues and be more connected that way. And I much prefer that than so much of the talking and figuring it out and worrying that I'm going to hurt him or something.
Yeah, for sure. Whatever works, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So that's my preference.
All right, so this is on my fuck it list. So Zachary Zane, when we have you back, what are you going to put on your fuck it list today that you want off of your fuck it list next time we talk?
Oh boy. I still like haven't been like properly gangbanged. I feel like, and that's something I want to do, where it's just like I'm the one bottom and there are 10 guys who are just like focused on me specifically. I've been to obviously a ton of orgies or whatever it is, but I've never been like the sole selfish, greedy bottom. And I would like to have that experience.
Love that. Yeah,
that's been mine on my list too. So we've got gangbangs all around has been the common theme of being selfish and worshiped.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
All right, we'll check in. So, Zachary, where can we find you?
Yeah, so obviously my name is Zachary Zane. I wrote the book Boy Slut, a memoir and manifesto. If you Google Zachary Zane or Boy Slut, one word, everything comes up. But I'm most active on Instagram, and it's Zachary Zane _. But yeah, if you just Google my name or the book, like everything will come up.
Hey, you mentioned
get the book.
Yeah, get the book. I'm actually in the middle of listening to the audiobook right now.
Oh, God, you get to hear my voice in your ear.
I have to say, I love that you personally narrate your own book because it just has a different impact and different for the receiver. Second thing I want you to talk about or just mention, how can people find these dirty stories that you share, these zines that you have?
Oh, yes. So that is, oh my God. So it's also called, the zine is called Boy Slut. And that's either great branding or very confusing. but I was trying to do everything. But that's on Substack, right? So if you Google Boy Slut Substack, it'll come up. But unfortunately, I fucked up where originally I did the Substack. I did ZacharyZane.substack.com and everything's .substack.com. Then when I tried to change it to Boy Slut, they were like, oh, you will lose every single article you've published. So I'm like, shit. It's like, because you're rechanging it because it's all associated with that. But if you Google Boy Slut, let me double check, but Boy Slut Substack, that should come up first. Yes, that'll come up right first.
Okay, good. And then there's a newsletter that people can sign up for as well where they can get inbox stories.
Yeah, yeah. And that's through the Substack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got
so
it.
If you sign up for that, like that is my newsletter, and then you get it to your inbox. I do one or two stories a week.
Okay.
I love receiving your emails.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
If I don't have time to read them, it's at least a reminder. Get sexy. Get sexy.
I love that. I love hearing that.
Channel your inner boy slut.
Yes, yes.
Thanks, Zachary Zane.
Thank you. Thanks for being on. We'll catch you later.
Yeah, take care.
The sore throat fix is the deep throat, guys. Doctor's orders every time.
I cannot relate. I wish I could.
V, you texted me like that day and I was like, have you been deep throating dicks? And you're like, actually, I haven't been. And I'm like, well.
I fixed that.
She did deep throat one day.
Yeah, the builder and I had a nice moment. It was really nice. So.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Welcome back, the builder.
Yeah.
We're so glad to have you.
I'm so glad to be here. I must say that I've gained a small level of notoriety just from appearing on this show.
Whoa. Did you have a little fan club at Hedo this year?
Not even at Hedo, but it's just like I played in a band for 10 years and not once did like somebody recognize me from that. But just from appearing on this show multiple times, it's been like, oh, you're the builder. Oh, my God. Okay. I'm like, wow, this is nice.
Oh, my God. So
thank you both.
Yeah. Well, happy to have you back. That means people like you.
Are you familiar with the game Horrible Life?
I might have played a time or two.
We're gonna dive in today. Today's iteration, how I would love to play is I want to guess if we've each done this or not, whatever the task that comes up.
I'm into it.
All right. Okay. Let's do it.
Okay, Builder, you're going to start. I'm going to pull a card for you. You're going to read it to us and we're going to guess if you've done it.
Okay.
All right. Here you go.
Okay. Been one of the plugs to stuff someone airtight, the filling of all orifices at once. So I guess you're one of the dicks involved in this situation is the question, right?
I mean,
who are we guessing on?
Well, him, because he has to read it. I mean, we don't call him the vag guy for nothing.
Yeah, he's the DB guy, the DP guy too. Like he's got a name, and sometimes you contract in the dick in the mouth guy.
Right. So I think this one's a pretty easy one for me.
How ironic that you pulled that on random V. Did you really pull that randomly? Oh yes. My God. I'm not kidding you. Like of the 200 cards, like how is that even possible?
That's amazing.
So,
I mean, we have taken a couple out because we didn't want to like repeat from past guests, but what is that, like 8, 15?
Yeah.
So Builder, the universe wants to hear about your airtight experiences.
So,
is
like,
that what you were going to say, Al?
Yeah. Do you have a preference of position if you know, obviously you've been in the airtight?
Uh huh. Yes. I mean, absolutely. But it's, So, quick fun story just from Hito, if we can talk about that.
Yeah.
Hito 2024?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Now, there was one airtight situation and one DVP, like, situation as well later in the day, but both in the same day. And I got to experience one from the bottom and one from sort of behind on top, you know?
Ah.
And, you know, on the bottom, you're just sort of like, the bottom is good too, because you get to you get a better view. You get to like watch her face and stuff like that, and like mm-hmm. see like what's going on, like, and be like very close that way. But you can't really like thrust as much as you normally can, because there's like too much going on, you know? Mm-hmm. So you're kind of just like along for the ride that way. But on the back, you can sort of like fuck like you would normally fuck.
Yeah.
But there's also the extra pressure of the other dick there, especially in DVP. And it's like, you know, fucking an extra tight vagina.
So you were on the bottom for airtight.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And then you were from behind on top for DVP.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Mm. Yes. Now, from the back position, here's a question I always ask. I feel like the person in the back is the one that's in charge, or more so leading the motion of the ocean. Agree or disagree?
The one in the back.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
You're the one facilitating mm-hmm. the movement. The guy on the bottom is just kind of hanging out. The dick in the mouth is like, you go ahead. You can just bounce on my dick.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't face fuck you because I might get teeth, you know, or end up in your
and
nose.
And like mess up the rhythm of what's going on down below.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So when you're in back or behind or however you want to say that, you not only can dictate the rhythm, but like once everything is sort of in place and like flowing good, I feel like you get the most benefit back there as well. Because like, you know, again, it just feels like you could really, you can fuck, you know?
Yeah. From back there. All right. So so what do you think? You're going to try and transition to be more the back guy? Are you going to, does this change your role?
Hadn't thought about that, but, you know, maybe that'll just be an extra menu item that we could switch it up every once in a while. You know, keep it interesting for our clients, you know.
Okay.
Well, right. Wait, if I recall correctly, the DVP was actually you and Jay. Is that correct? Out on the balcony?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah.
Well, so wait. I saw you in an airtight situation on Sunday. I got a video, actually, where you were behind. I'm pretty sure T-Money was on the bottom. And then someone else was in her mouth. I'll call her G because I don't know if you have a name for her.
Yeah. yeah. Now that you mention it, there were a number of them. So I don't want to...
Your life is terrible, the builder. I can't believe.
There were so many that you couldn't remember them all.
Yeah. No. I do remember them all there. But yeah, so for the actual airtight DP, I was on the bottom
mm-hmm.
for that.
Okay.
And then was on the bottom for one of the DVPs and in the back for one of the DVPs as well. So there were three total.
Mm. Oh, my God. I love that.
Unfortunately, I was not one of them. We did not repeat our New Year's Eve. There was no reunion. But, you know, that'll come in the future.
Yeah, but not for, like, lack of chatting about it, you know.
We were also considering doing like a train, and I was mm-hmm. all for it. It just like it, we needed a fire starter for that train.
Wait, tell me about a train. What do you mean by that? Like fucking train
or
oral train?
Can you describe it, Builder?
This all started because V and I were walking back to the room, and I told her that I had just been sort of approached or solicited, I guess you could say, to like be involved in running a train on somebody's wife. And she's like, what's that? I'm like, it's really just where, like, you know, guys just sort of like come on through, you know?
Yeah. So kind of like a lineup kind of a thing. Like y'all get in line. Yeah. It's one at a time or maybe two.
Yeah,
at a time.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. Like maybe like the next guy in line is getting fluffed, you know, by her maybe. But yeah, it's kind of just like a, yeah, just, yeah.
Well, so then Jeb and I kind of took that and ran with it. And we were like, so I thought about the eye mask and playing basically like who's in my mouth, but who's in my vag. And, you know, having our men run it to make sure that it was obviously vetted people that we trust and know, and they know who we're comfortable with having fuck us, right?
Yeah.
Either people we have had before or like there's, you know, a couple of people in like the satellite group that I'd be comfortable with. And so I was all for this idea. I don't know why it didn't like come to fruition. I think it's just because it takes a lot of like, takes a lot of people being on the same page at the same time. And yeah, that's hard to do. At a party, at a sex club, at, you know, Hedo, like anywhere.
Yeah,
so
unless it's like, it's less, unless it's an event that is solely focused on that particular experience, then it's really hard to align all the stars when there's so much else going on elsewhere. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that is on my list now, though, like for a future Freaksgiving or, you know, when there are enough guys. How many dicks does it have to be a train? How many cars? How
that's
many
a
train
good question.
Cars?
We should put that out to the listeners and yeah, put out a poll.
I mean, I'd have to say, like, I feel like it has to be just like a gangbang, like four or more, or maybe even five. I feel like the train needs to be longer.
Yeah.
The train's yeah.
I can't decide if it's four or five.
I would say five minimum.
Yeah, five feels
I'd
good.
I'd have to say five. Five feels right.
All right. So, yeah, that never happened, but seed planted.
Now we have to guess who, if you've ever been one of the dicks to stuff someone airtight, to circle this back to the card.
Oh, I forgot that we would answer this too. Yeah.
I don't think you have. To put someone airtight. That's my guess. Thumbs down. Builder, what do you say?
Yeah, I'm going to say no on that one as well.
We got two thumbs
down.
Fuck
you, bitches. I have been the vag guy.
Oh, my God.
at Hedo 2023. Me
shit.
And Jay with Svetlana, and you were there, Elle.
I was there. Oh, my God.
And M was the mouth guy. And we have pictures. We have videos. It was incredible. And I agree. I love being on the bottom and watching the face and seeing it all. It's so fucking cool. I have never been the butt dude or the mouth dude.
Yeah.
The mouth wouldn't be so fun with a strap on.
Yeah. Like, it's not necessarily fun to suck a fake cock. I mean, I've done it before, you know, but definitely wouldn't put that in a girl's mouth. I'd rather them just get a real one. And then, so to be the back too, I also feel the pressure of being in the back. Like, I already can't see or feel what's going on. And so to be the leader, and I'd be afraid I would just slip out all the time. And then it would just not be a pleasurable experience. And then plus some of those dicks are not as strong or sturdy in the center. So they bend a little bit. So I'm not a huge fan of being on the back either with a strap on.
I would do it, but it would have to be with someone who's like super, super comfortable with taking it in the ass. That it basically would just like slide right in and they're like, they can take actual fucking. So like, I'm not super afraid of hurting them. Like, I would not be a good candidate to take, you know, a strap on in the ass for DP or airtight.
Yeah, but I would agree. Me neither.
I know some people who would be some good candidates for that.
I know some ass sluts.
So, Al, I am going to guess for you. I think you have done it. Nothing is coming to mind for me, but you talk as if you have, and I know you're a kinky slut. So I'm going to say yes.
I would guess yes at this most.
Yeah,
this one too.
I've done yes. Yeah, I've done it. But I've always been
on the bottom. It appears that we are mostly bottoms here. We're the vagina guys.
Love that. High five. Yay.
All right, D, you're up. Pull up. Did you pull that card? Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. We'll go with this one. I'll read it out loud. Met someone in a swinger app.
Who is this about?
Yeah, you're gonna guess, I guess, because I read it. So
about you.
We'll say you guys guess me. Have I met someone in the swinger app?
And this is specifically an app, not old school SLS.
Correct, an app. Mm-hmm. So it could be like Tinder, Field.
Okay.
I'm gonna say yes.
I'll say yes too.
Yes, I have. I have that definitely.
With them or solo? Because I know you and the girls met a dude down in like Florida, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would say that I have met a few couples with M, and we used to do dates that way locally. That's how we found people that were nearby. And so we've had some really good success locally, but we don't talk to those people that much anymore. Actually, there's one couple we still do, but I would say we do it. We like it because it does bring people to local. But then what I dislike about dating is it could always be a flop. Like, you're restricted to just that couple when you go on this date. Are you going to hit it off? Is there chemistry or no chemistry? And you kind of feel a little stuck. Did you waste your time? Kind of a thing. And so it's not my first choice. I very much prefer to meet people on multi-day events or full-day events, or say at a swingers club, where you're just kind of like live and you're vibing with people and you're talking to people. You just kind of flow with wherever the sexy energy takes you. That's way more my preference. But yes, I have had success, and I would still continue to do it. And I still try to do it, actually. Is meet people on apps, but it's been a little unsuccessful these days.
It's good to flex that muscle still.
Yeah.
I think. Okay, let's both answer, Builder. Let's guess for each other, but then I have a couple of questions for you guys, and it'll depend on whether the answer is yes or no. So, Builder, I believe you have.
I'm going to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, we have. It's been a while.
What's your app of choice?
I think the only one that we're really on is Field, I want to say.
Yeah.
And it's been a while since we've used it. And I think we even have like the $10 or whatever it is subscription. And I see it every month. Majestic. And I'm like, yeah, it's a waste of $10.
Yeah.
But
it's 23 and it's every 3 months.
Okay. Yeah, whatever it is. But yeah. Yeah, you know, we're on there, and we have met a few people through there, but kind of the same, similar experience to you guys. There's been a few people on there that we met, and it actually turned out to be really good, and that we still sort of on and off keep in touch with, you know, mm-hmm. still. So,
wait, now here's my question for you. Between the two of you, you're on there as a couple, right? That's your profile.
Mm-hmm.
So who does most of the communication?
Is that a real question?
Is that even a question?
I know the answer, right? So that's definitely you. But does Jeb get involved at all? When do you bring Jeb in? You know, do you guys do
only when there's you know, a situation that I've like vetted to a certain degree, and you know, that I think is hot or whatever, or you know, that the people would be fun to hang out with. Do I even approach her and you know, and show her, bring her up to speed and get her input, and then we take it from there.
Mm-hmm.
Is it typically always other couples, or have you ever found like a third?
No, a couple thirds as well. These situations have been few and far between, I would say, for us, just because, you know, especially over the last number of years when these apps have been around, we've just been
enough people to.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that.
Fill your time.
We've been getting pussy by referral for the past like 3 years.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Hey, you're having a party. Can I bring my friend so and so? And it's just been super easy that we haven't had to. And the vetting's already done and they've already played with them.
I know.
You know.
And then they get to the party and they're like, oh, you're the builder. Yes, I am. Nice to meet you.
You know, one thing with the apps, it's like there's so much catfishing that can happen, or just people right. that just want to get off at talking dirty and sending you pictures and getting naughty, that I find that my strategy now with dating on an app is we'll chit chat for like a day or two, but I want to get off of the app and into text messages fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. And then I also want to get a date on the calendar pretty quickly. Like I want to know how mm-hmm. serious you are. Like mm-hmm. we're hitting it off. We're having some good starting conversation. There's some curiosity. Okay. When can you meet? How soon can we do it? And that just kind of gauges for me, am I going to waste my time, or is this, you know, going to turn into maybe something potential?
Veteran. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what veteran. My,
pro tip.
My dating coach would be very impressed with that advice. She always said, like, you know, to gauge whether someone is actually interested, you should only be like in the messages on the dating app for like a day or two before you move to text message and then mm. put a date on the calendar. Mm-hmm. So,
and then it's interesting, like in talking to other couples who use apps too, like if you have a solo profile as a male or a female, there is such a disparity between how many matches that the male will get versus the female. And Chet was talking about this, and he'll say like he'll get like maybe 20 or 30 hits. And then he tells people that, you know, he's married and he's in an open relationship. And then some girls are turned off by that. And they actually mm-hmm. like shame him for it almost. Like, ew, I can't believe you're doing this. But then his wife can go on and gets like hundreds of matches, has so many endless options for dates. And he's like, man, it's like every 30, maybe I get one who actually yeah. wants to continue and move forward. So I just feel yeah. bad for you guys out there. It's tougher for you guys that you have to, yeah. you have to shoot your shot so many times before it actually hits a bullseye, you know, it's yeah. a little easier for us.
Yeah.
I always say that I'm so lucky I met Jeb in the real world organically, because I think I would fail completely if like my main method of trying to obtain a partner was through those apps. That was a little bit before my time anyway. Like we had like I was never really on like Match.com or whatever those apps were. Not even apps, like the websites, you know, back before they even had the apps. But mm-hmm. yeah. That always just seemed like such a nightmare. I'm so thankful that I was able to avoid that.
Yeah.
I, during the pandemic, was solo. And so I relied solely on apps to meet people. And Jay and I met through Field. And what is very interesting is, thank God we met you guys in person. And I do much prefer those connections, because you know if you vibe or not very quickly. And mm-hmm. We went to the people that we still have in our life in New York have mostly been from apps, which is very interesting. So Holly, we met through a Field mixer. So that was in person, but for an app. So I don't know, take that one or leave that one mm-hmm. for this. But then Athena, we met her through, Jay met her through, you know, Field, and mm-hmm. he always vets people, and similar to you, Builder and Jeb, like, you know, basically I don't have the time or energy to, you know, go on all these dates, so he'll just like go on the dates for us, poor guy. And and then, you know, if he thinks that I will be interested, then he'll take it to the next level and be like, hey, babe, like, you should meet this person. So, and now for Hoes in Hoboken, most of the people that we have there are from like apps, I yeah. think.
I mean, if and usually through Field, right? Like, that's your primary.
Usually Field.
Yeah, Field's been like really, really good lately. One other thing that I thought about in like vetting people out on the app is like the more recently what I started to do was asking to FaceTime with that person within those couple of days too. And mm-hmm. that was with a third that I was trying to bring in for a threesome for M and I. He was like a bi male comfortable guy. And I wanted to see how serious it was. And like he did, he FaceTimed me. I wanted to feel his energy. It ended up not working out, but that felt like a really good strategy that I tried that I'm going to continue to do. And I wonder, does Jay do that, or he just goes right for the date? Do you know his process?
He doesn't do that, but I do. I would always meet people over FaceTime first to see if we at least could carry on a conversation. And hint, something like Horrible Life is a great way to get to know someone really quickly and see if you're aligned on certain things and you can laugh together, right?
Yeah.
And I would always – I don't think Horrible Life was around when I was dating during the pandemic, or at least I didn't know about it because I didn't know you guys yet. But I would play – Never Have I Ever. I would play Strip Never Have I Ever at the height of the pandemic. I would do literal like Zoom dates and we would just get like drunk and strip and like with these random people. There are probably fucking like screenshots of my pussy like on random people.
That's amazing.
Oh my God. Drunk me. She's wild.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But yeah, definitely FaceTime. And where do you meet? This is what I wanted to ask you guys. When you get off the phone and actually meet up with someone, where do you meet? What do you do? And do you fuck on the first date?
Ooh. All right, Builder, you take that first.
Yeah, I think if we're meeting through one of those apps at this point, we're meeting for like a specific purpose, you know,
like a fantasy that you've talked about.
Exactly. Something like that. And yeah, so there's less like, okay, let's get to know you first. You know what I mean? So like if we've been like having good conversations through one of those apps, be more inclined to like, you know, get a drink and make sure it's wasn't like completely you know, an illusion or whatever. And
they look like they said that.
Yeah, all those things. And to make sure like, you know, you vibe in person as well. I mean, it's like we don't I think we always go into that first meeting with like a like let's see how this goes and it's not, you know, there's no expectations kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But a little bit more open to like, okay, let's make this happen if it's feeling good.
Okay. So dating apps can be more successful. And I think I like the directness of meeting people too, where you're like, hey, let's meet. We have a specific fantasy that we want to satisfy. Or if it flows correctly, then at the end of this meeting, we're going to go do it. And then do you take them to a hotel or do you take them back to your house?
Yeah. Again, it's been a while for us, but there were some hotel situations back in the day.
Yeah.
Especially because, you know, you just never know.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I have done in the past too, where if it's someone who I'm meeting for like how you describe it, drink, flow, if it works, we're going to complete the fantasy that we discussed. I'd rather take them to a different location than my house or even go to their house because safety and, you know, exiting the situation.
Exactly.
All right, pull one more.
Yeah, let's do it. I cut the deck. I pulled one from the middle. Oh, okay. I'll pull this, but you got to read it, V, because this is the second one I pulled.
Oh, worn a full head mask during sex.
Now, this can be any kind of mask, or we're just talking about a specific kind
of. I think like a hood, right?
Yeah, like a whole hood. Like it's covering your whole entire head up to your neck, your chin.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, has V done this? And I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes.
I don't know. You've had a dom. Ooh. They have toys and gadgets and.
Yeah.
I have not.
Okay.
All right. He had one. But I just don't think we got there. I remember taking a picture of him in it. It was a new one towards the end of our time together. And so we just never got there. I'm sure I would have eventually. But yeah. Builder, I'm going to say no for you.
Builder. I know you've had some experience with some doms in the past. I'm going to say yes.
I don't think so. No, that's the answer.
Does it appeal to you? I don't know.
Not really.
It does.
Yeah, you know, I have especially when I was younger, like a lot of so much interest in BDSM, and it was like such a turn on. But there were certain things that I was like, not interested in that at all. But like, you know, the things that I am interested in, like were super hot, you know. But like things like for example, like even like full body latex or, you know, masks like that.
Mm-hmm. It seems like so much work to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you have to guess if I've done it, and then I'll share my insight.
I believe you have, with our mutual friends, with a latex fetish.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. We're all like 50-50 here.
Okay, what was your experience of it?
Okay, so I've had two. So one was a full head cat mask. So that I enjoyed because that was me feeling primal and in that space and like acting like an animal. And I resonate with that pretty well. So that turned me on because I was an animal and I felt like more in character. The other time that I used it was with a couple who prefers to wear latex, like full body latex suits. It was a full latex hood. You can only see the eyes and like the mouth. And for me, I enjoyed having that experience in that moment with that couple because they enjoyed that and it turned them on to be in that phase. But it's not something that I would seek elsewhere. You mentioned it being a lot of work. It is a fuck ton of work to get into a latex suit. And the care for the leather that this stuff was made from was like what you need to do. Like when you take it off, you're completely soaked in sweat because you can't breathe. So even when I took my hood off, like I was sweating underneath the hood because there's no airflow. So you have to be comfortable with sweating. And then you have to be comfortable with turning the whole thing inside out and like washing it and cleaning it and letting it dry. And then you have to put a powder on it when you store it so that the leather doesn't rub on each other. And like this stuff is legit. Like they ordered it from Germany, got complete custom measurements for their own body because there's no give, there's no stretch for it. But what I've learned about this fetish by enjoying it with these couple who are Minx and Machine, they it's almost like the idea of being used as a toy. Like you are just a thing. You become your parts, your mouth, your holes, and that's kind of the objectification that comes from that type wearing that type of a, you know, suit. You know, you're completely submissive in that position too. So I get it, you know, but it's just not something that I seek.
Yeah, that does. It's not something that I typically seek out. And my initial reaction was like, oh, that feels so claustrophobic. But then thinking about it, it does feel like a form of bondage, which I find comforting on some level. And if you know that there's an end point to it, like if you've agreed upon the terms of the scene, I feel like it could be a really cool exploration. Mm-hmm. And especially like you said, if there's only like a hole for the mouth and like you can only see it, it's quite, yeah, restrictive. And I think it could be a really cool exploration. Yeah.
There's there's one latex full suit that I saw. It was she was full head to toe. She put the mask on and it had almost like you would think like a doll with her lips pursed like this, just kind of open. And you can almost plug it with like a drain plunge is what it looked like. And built into the top of the latex was a braid. And it was like a cute little like hair that came out. So she looked super fucking hot, like in this outfit, and just really liked being used like a toy and like tied and all of that. So if you're listening to this episode on the day that it drops, check our story because I'm going to post the picture of the doll latex suit and then even some latex that I borrowed from some of them, which wasn't full body. It was like a latex like tank top, a latex skirt, and I brought my own like thigh high boots and stuff. But I'll post those pictures so you guys can check it out because it was fun. I definitely had a good time with it.
Yeah, what a cool experience. I love experiencing like all the little niche things that this world has to offer. Like everybody's got their own interest and kink and fetish, and I love that.
Yeah, and you don't realize what you're gonna like until you're in it. Like I didn't think I would enjoy that, and I did, and I would do it again for sure. All right, this is good.
All right, Builder, thank you so much for coming on. It's so funny. We're recording this like very shortly after Hito, so I feel like we're still a little low energy.
Yeah.
It has been a rough re-entry, I will say that, but always a great week.
Yeah, good.
Rebooked again for next year.
That's what we're trying to do, and it's already like sold out and rooms aren't available, so stay tuned.
Yeah. People, get on the wait list now if you're listening to this. Thanks, Builder.
All right, well, we'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Thank you so much, guys.